Are Kyrie and James Harden going to sign their extension?
His trade value is not there. And when you hear reports...
Phil has been paid $16 million of his $33 million salary.
I know about people that have certain clauses
what
in their contract.
What happens next year with Giannis Antetokounmpo? He will be eligible for a Supermax next summer. If he re-signs, a new reality is the players are going to move around. And the players are not going to want to spend their whole, you know, life...
And because they didn't want to go into the penalty of the luxury tax, they traded James Harden. Somebody's going to be making $50 million.
He probably could have made a little bit more money this summer in free agency.
I think he could have got a lot more in the offseason. When you got a chance to secure the bag,
you secure it, man.
No question.
What's going on, party people? This is the Bird Rights Podcast, as you guys know. I am here with Corbin Ford. At this point, I believe we've done either 10, 11, 12, something along those lines of these team previews, team offseason previews. Today, we are going to be doing the Phoenix Suns. And you guys have heard these episodes have been about 35 to 40, 45 minutes an episode. This one, I'm sure you guys will see it when you click on the episode and press play. I'd say maybe max 20, 25 minutes because of the Suns, you know, second apron status with the new CBA. They and maybe the Clippers will feel like the two teams that are going to be, and Golden State, I guess, are going to be, you know, the first few teams to really feel the ramifications of this new apron. So before we start talking about it, Corbin, first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Stephen, as always. You know, whenever it comes to talking ball, I'm always here. I'm always hype, right? So I know we're both tired. That's actually also another feeling that it's going through. But aside from that, man, happy to kind of dive into the quandary that is the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. So the Phoenix Suns obviously have a new owner, Matt Ishbia, who basically immediately after buys the team, they trade for Kevin Durant, and then the following offseason trade for Bradley Beal. Now, first of all, I will say the Suns did good work in terms of extending Grayson Allen for the maximum they were able to extend him for. Because if he were to hit the open market, he would have had a team give him more than what the Suns gave him. And the Suns either would have had to pay more and pay even deeper into the second apron, or he would have left outright. And the Suns have no means to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
First order of business. Second order of business, excellent job using the few minimal amount of picks that I had. I think they traded 3 second-round picks for Royce O'Neal, who they now have his bird rights, so could re-sign him to whatever they want to re-sign, whatever they're able to re-sign him for. But at this point, and again, Corbin, we're going to get into why exactly this is, but the Suns are basically stuck with this roster. Like, there's really no means for them to really get better. They have KD, they have Beal, they have Booker, they have Yusuf Nurkic, they have Grayson Allen, and they'll most likely re-sign Royce O'Neal. After that, I mean, they have the 22nd and 51st pick in this draft, and then I think a 2028 Celtics second. That's all they could trade. So after this year's draft, the only tradable second they have is a 2028 Boston seconds. So, like, even if, like, you found, let's say, not Nas Little's on the roster, he's 6.7 mil. Even if you found someone, I don't know, let's say, the first name that comes to mind with a similar contract that's better, Kenrich Williams from OKC. First of all, OKC does need more assets, so they wouldn't take the downgrade in Nas Little from Kenrich Williams. But let's even say OKC wanted the 22nd pick in the draft with Nas Little to get Kenrich Williams. I mean, that's the type of move that Phoenix is kind of looking at themselves to be the best possible upgrade. I mean, no one's going to take Bradley Beal's contract off their books. I can't imagine them wanting to trade KD or Booker. And I don't think anyone's going to want Yusuf Nurkic. Grayson Allen's appealing, but he can't be traded for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Royce O'Neal won't be able to be traded for 6 months once he signs, or 3 months once he signs his new contract with Bird Rights. So, Corbin, where exactly do you anticipate Phoenix going from here?
That's a tough call. Like, for real. It's one of those things where they're stuck. I mean, you have the core of your three stars, right? I would guess the only flexibility you might have is, and we could talk about this in a minute, is possibly trading one of them. Who's more likely? That might not be the answer most people would like, but there is an answer there, right? Because you're right, like, you need a center, and Yusuf Nurkic is not great, particularly in the playoffs, but he is the best you have, right? And then Grayson Allen, I think you actually got a good deal for him considering the type of shooting and volume that he's been at. And the fact he's been a pretty decent defender too, and he would have been more helpful, I think, in the postseason had he been healthy, right? So, I mean, he wasn't great before he got injured, but I'm just saying, like, maybe he would have come around. There was hope of that. So, ultimately, this is one of those things where I don't know. You're kind of stuck. Aside from taking swings against the more minimum guys and maybe probably going the more conventional route of, like, your older vets and guys who have actually played and not just betting on promise that has been unreceived out of these guys, I feel like that's all they really have as an option here.
So I just wrote an article for theleadsm.com, basically not a Suns offseason preview, but basically analyzing, will the Phoenix Suns go from here, assuming they don't want to trade KD or Booker. And at this point, as we already discussed, they're stuck. So the new ramifications of the new CBA, they're now a second apron team, which means not only do they not have access to even a taxpayer MLE, so they're only limited to signing players to minimums, but even for a deal, they have no picks to trade. And while teams could, you know, salary match for 125% of salary, or tax teams could do 110%, second apron teams cannot take back more money than they take in, and they cannot aggregate salaries to get somewhere. So, like, for example, let's say Phoenix wanted to combine Yusuf Nurkic and Naz Little, who make a combined $24.9 million. They can't do that for like a $25 million guy. Mm-hmm. Pursuant to the new CBA, they cannot do that for multiple reasons. Because they can't take in more money than they're trading out, and because they can't aggregate players for a bigger salary. Even if the guy made $23 million, you can't do it. So yeah, this is where the huge ramifications of the second apron come into play. Now, in the exit interviews for the Suns, I think, was it James Jones, I believe it was, basically said, oh, well, I don't think Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are that concerned with the 22nd pick in the draft.
That's exactly what, yeah.
So this pick is going to be traded. Absolutely. It's just a matter of how, like, that Kendrick Williams deal is the best one I could think of. And even then, I don't even know if OKC wants to downgrade a player to get another draft pick, given the treasure trove amount of picks they currently have. Like, who do you attach, unless you're going to attach Nurkic to that pick and, you know, try to get someone with cap space to take that contract off your hands, so then at least you get access to the taxpayer MLE and get out of second apron. But that's not good business either. Mm-hmm. So as much as people are talking about, oh yeah, this pick's going to be traded, I don't see a feasible scenario as to who.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're right. Like, I don't understand the options available. I mean, here's the thing. First of all, let me throw this to you. You talked about how they're not going to trade KD. I feel like that might be their best bet of getting something. No one's touching Bradley Beal's contract. Booker's going to stay. No one's touching that. I feel like it's, I mean, I don't see a real reason why KD would request a trade, but, and I don't see the Suns doing it. But do you think it's possible? Like, I feel it's in play if you're trying to get assets back for a team that's bereft of them, especially, but again, maybe I'm talking myself out of this because we already know that James Jones, as he has historically shown, doesn't value draft picks.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely a feasible scenario. I just don't know where the Suns are. Like, sure, you trade KD to what? I mean, let's say, I don't know, Sixers are the first team to come to mind to me just because they have the cap space so they could give the salary relief and they have the Clippers picks and some of their own picks. Mm-hmm. So, like, but what are you getting back in terms of a player? Sixers don't give Tyrese Maxey. Like, right. What exactly are you looking at? Like, are you looking at a scenario where I would say a sign and trade with the Clippers and they get Paul George back, but you can't even do that because second year teams can't do sign and trades, and both those teams, that's where it gets tricky. It's like, what exactly are you going to get back for Kevin Durant? Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to trade him for picks and young guys. They are going to trade him to try to continue to compete.
Yeah.
What do you do, trade Brooklyn for Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges? Like, you already did the opposite of that.
No, I think you're right. Like, the other options it's so hard. Like, I get they're locked in and everything, but, like, I don't know. Their long-term future is just ugly, I think.
Like, I'm looking at some matching salaries for Nassir Little if they want to attach like the 22nd pick to him or something. You have Sacramento as an option for multiple guys. Sasha Vezinkov, who was obviously all EuroLeague first team before coming over. He just finished his rookie year as a 29-year-old rookie. Or like a Davion Mitchell or Chris Duarte, if Phoenix like either of those guys. But like, there's just not a whole lot of guys that, you know, make much sense in a deal for Phoenix in terms of like that. The one tradable mid-tier salary they have in Nas Little, they didn't really have anybody they could acquire for him. So that's where it gets tricky, in my opinion.
That's fair. And you're right. Like, the actual option of, I don't know, the actual option of trading is already harder. And so, yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, you're right. It is tight, man. Like, I mean, I don't know. Unless in my mind, I guess what you don't have the flexibility really to kind of get anything back in value in terms of trades, just because of what you had to send out, all the rules and implications there. Maybe you look at a guy like a Chris Dunn, a guy like a Robert Covington, a free agency. But like, what does Robert Covington even have left in the tank?
I think Robert Covington, someone's going to give him more than a minimum. That's all Phoenix could offer.
But would he settle for a minimum to play for a contender? Because the teams that have the option, I mean, I guess there's some second apron teams he can join that would be able to, like, use him. But also, like, he would be needed in Phoenix. Like, yeah. Philadelphia, we already saw what that looked like. Los Angeles, we already saw that look. Like, those are some teams that were in that realm, right? And he wasn't played. So I think maybe it's a mix of, okay, it's the minimum, but I'm going to get playing time because they need me, right? Like, they're already bringing back Royce O'Neal. I think they said a 3 to 4 year deal is expected. Around $14 million annually. Royce O'Neal is going to get paid because the Suns can't afford not to pay him. Like, he's going to get exactly what he's looking for, whatever that may be. And it didn't help. It didn't hurt that he didn't play bad. Like, he played well. At least he did in the regular season. Postseason shot 33% from three. Not a whole lot there. But he played well. I mean, he was 9th in total minutes this season with the Suns, but he finished 5th in total plus minus, which was ahead of guys like Eric Gordon and even more crazy Bradley Beal. But aside from that, yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Not that he's a cult favorite, right? But did Bol Bol show enough to get decently paid?
I think so.
Okay.
I do think so.
He shot 42% from three. You know, 62% shooting. I thought he played pretty good defensively. But I also don't know if, like, I felt he felt more, less like a victory cigar and more like a player, but even then it was still some, you know, attitude things, defensive adjustments. Like, do you think he's, let me ask this, let me rephrase it, do you think he's out of the price range of the Suns in terms of they look at him and decide, yeah, no, we don't want him?
I think some, well, the issue is they could still only sign Bol Bol to the minimum because they don't have his bird rights.
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
They didn't even have his early bird rights. So that I think someone's going to offer him, you know, at least like biannual exception type money, which is over double what the minimum is. So let me see. I'm going through the Suns cap sheet. We have KD, Beal, Booker, Nurkic, Grayson Allen. We assume Royce O'Neal is going to be back. That's the top six. Nassir Little's under contract. That's 7. You have pick number 22 for purposes of sex size. Let's say they keep it. That's 8. David Roddy is 9. At that point, they have 4 guys with player options. Eric Gordon, Josh Okogie, Damian Lee, and Drew Eubanks.
Yeah.
Let's say Okogie and Damian Lee pick up their player options. Let's say Eubanks and Eric Gordon do not. That gives them, after you factor in the second round pick, which there's no way they keep, let's just say they have 11 guys on the roster. So they need to sign 4 guys, let's say. They still, I think the biggest need this roster needed this past year and will need next year is a true playmaking point guard. Because they didn't have even a guy like that on the roster that could, like, you know, facilitate run and offense adequately, like a playmaking point guard, I'm saying. They did not have that, and I think that was a big part of their downfall. Like, watching campaign in the first round for the Sixers make a difference, it was like, damn, Phoenix could have used this guy. Phoenix really could have used a guy like campaign. And in my article, at least on the lead, I wrote about the necessity for a point guard for Phoenix. There were four guys I discussed. And Corbin, this article should be released before we release this article. I will put it in the show notes.
Oh, before the pod drops? Okay.
But here's what, here are the four guys I'm looking at for Phoenix's point guard situation. Jordan McLaughlin from the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think he would help immensely in terms of he's a true, like, playmate. Like, look at the impact TJ McConnell's having for the Pacers right now.
Yeah.
He like, being Jordan McLaughlin hasn't had the opportunity, but in Phoenix, where he's going to be playing expanded role, I really think that'll, you know, maybe he'll be overextended a little bit, but I also think he'll help tremendously.
No, I agree. I think you're right. I think he's somebody with a bigger role. He's a steady point guard. You know, I think he'd assume more usage. I think he'll be somebody who can focus more defensively, kind of help the Suns out in that category. Decent shooting potential there. So, yeah, I like it.
Campaign was another one. I know I just mentioned him a little bit. But he's obviously familiar with Phoenix and the organization. I know it's a different staff and different ownership than from when he was there. But it's the same front office. DeLone Wright, I put on this list. I know he's not as much of a playmaker. He's more of a defensive-minded type guy. But Phoenix could use that as well, like a good, solid perimeter defender. Like, imagine Phoenix if they had – here's another guy I'd tell us. What about, like, Pat Bev?
How washed do you think Pat Bev is? Going to be 36 next year.
Yeah, but just like
I can see him –
Phoenix doesn't have like that tenacity. Like, they do not have a lead on the locker room. They asked Kevin Durant who's the lead on the locker room. He looked at the reporter. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear this interview?
Yeah, no. Wait, where he said the coach, I think?
He said the coach. They are firing the freaking coach. And that's who the lead on the locker room is?
You think they're I think they're going to give him a second chance.
I think they should. I think they should. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, like, I think he helped them defensively. I mean, they weren't great, but consider the personnel that they had. I think offensively, like, you know his limitations there, and I think there were some issues there with the previous, what, Kevin Young, and just, like, how to optimize these guys. Yeah, give him another shot. Like, what are you kidding me? I mean, this team is disappointing, but I doubt it was his. But anyway, I see what you're saying. Let's not lose the forest from the trees. The larger point is, you're right. You're not going to Frank Vogel as a rah-rah guy. He's just not, never has been, never will be.
Like, I think Pat Bev would be tremendous for the locker room. Just, like, a guy with that FU mentality who's going to, you know, show it on and off the court, be the vocal leader on the bench. They have nobody like that. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Like, if they were able to get, like, a Morse brother or, like, P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker, I know he's going to opt into his player option with the Clippers. P.J. Tucker would do wonders for the Suns locker room.
Yeah,
they don't have a guy like that.
Well, I mean, he just picked up his play. He's going to just turn 39, going to pick up his player option most assuredly.
Yeah, but let's say Clippers buy him out. I would love it. Would love
return to the Valley. Yeah.
If the Suns, I know you, it's probably bad to have both PJ Tucker and Pat Bev both in the locker room given their ages, but like you need those type of guys like that are going to be vote. They have nobody like that. I can't reiterate it enough. Mm-hmm. And with that said, the last point guard I have on this list, who I think makes the most sense. The question is if he'll be willing to take a minimum to play for the Suns, Russell Westbrook, who I read a report the other day that specifically stated that he wants a larger role, even though, you know, he's thriving in a bench role with the Clippers. Suns could give him all the minutes of point guard he could handle. He's reunited with KD. He stars, you know, those stars in the locker room with KD and Booker and Beal. He's played for Frank Vogel before. I just think a lot of it makes a lot of sense. Now, Clippers do have his early bird rights, so they could pay him a good bit more than Phoenix could if they're willing to do that. I mean, it's at the point where Phoenix might have to let Paul George walk because they can't afford to go that deep into the tax. So, like, who's to say they're going to give Russell Westbrook, you know, $9-10 million?
You're right. I mean, I like it. I think he would get a bigger role, which he wants. I think he's around better shooting. I don't know. He was in a good situation with the Clippers, so shooting-wise. But in a situation where he gets more minutes, he could talk him into being the starting point guard, which apparently still wants to be a starter, right? Which will slide everyone up a position.
That's a small lineup.
I mean, Russ is 6'3", but Russ is a strong 6'3".
Yeah.
Booker is, what, 6'5"? Beal, it is small when you get to the two and the three for sure. But these are like athletic dudes when they're not injured, right? KD, the four, I don't like it all ever, but I don't think I ever will, right? But like it works for him there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's possible. I think
you can still bring Westbrook off the bench and still have him play 30 minutes a night and basically stagger, have two of those four guys on the court at all times, basically. Mm-hmm. Start Royce O'Neal or Grayson Allen, you know, there's way to either at shooting or defense. There's ways around it. But like, they need something. And I'm not a big proponent of, oh, yeah, add the 36-year-old, blah, blah, blah. But, like, what other alternatives, if you want to keep the core together, are there?
I mean, yeah. And for the most part, you're going to have continuity just because you need it. I mean, like, you're going to have continuity because you have no other option, right? Outside of, like you said, the moves in the margins. And we'll see if the, I don't know. I mean, we'll see if they can even manage that. Like, we'll see if the Suns have what it takes to actually take care of those margin moves. Because we saw they did last year, and everyone was all over their free agency signings. I'm happy. Listen, I'm not taking a victory lap, but I'm going to take a victory lap. I was not. I'm like, these are young guys who have minimums for a reason. That means they haven't shown it yet. And then they didn't show it, right? For the most part. And they have player options on quite a few of them. So I don't know. I'm not a fan, but we'll see what they do when it comes to the free agents here.
They need a hit on I hope they keep that 51st pick and use it and try to find a guy that, you know, helps a young, like, they drafted Tumani Kamara in the second round, who ended up being a hit for Portland when they traded him in the, you know, Nurchik, Grayson Allen, deal that sent DeAndre Ayton, and the Damian Lillard trade that Phoenix was involved in, where they got Nurchik and Grayson Allen. They gave up Tumani Kamara in that deal, who ended up being a huge hit in Portland. I think they could draft, because they didn't draft him with the intent of trading him. They traded him well after the fact to get off DeAndre Ayton and bring in these other guys and try to get more depth.
True.
But I don't think it's a lack of being able to draft for them. So I think they need to even get an unsigned free agent like Ricky Council or Craig Porter Jr., like an athlete that, you know, can dribble past shoot that, you know, you think could play some minutes off the bench later in the year. Like they don't have another scenario.
That's fair. That's fair. You're right. I mean, it's a literal lack of options.
Like, let me see. I'm going to try to pull up my big board here to see who I anticipate going undrafted that works for them. And, like, at 22, again, I don't anticipate them keeping the pick. Mm-hmm. I love Jalen Tyson from Cal. I have him as a lottery pick. If Phoenix could snag a guy like him at 22 or a guy like Tristan Da Silva at 22, I would. People talk about them taking Yves Missi from Baylor. I don't think they need another big man. They need, you know, a guy who could defend the perimeter, can play, make, dribble, pass, shoot a little bit. That's what they need.
What about Jared McCain? I mean, he's likely to be drafted before 22, but if he was there, I'd take him.
If he's there, I love it, but I don't think he's going to be there.
What about Devin Carter?
Same thing. What about Tyler Kolek? I think Tyler Kolek might be perfect for the Suns.
Tyler Kolek would work. I like Tyler Kolek. You're right. I think that'd be pretty solid. And I feel like he would be in that range.
Yep.
You know, a guy who can definitely give threes, and I think 7-2 assist to turnover ratio. Like, that's not bad. What about Mark Sears?
He was the next guy I was about to say. Same thing.
Okay. Small though. Don't like this. Don't like how tall or lack of tall he is. Like, again, I don't know. I mean, Kolek at least is bigger in terms of frame.
Yeah. And like, even Like, I don't know. Let's say Tristan Newton goes undrafted. Like, the Suns could, he just won two national championships and was an all, first team All-American this year. Like, the Suns could use a guy like that.
Yeah.
What about a Dylan Jones from Weber State? I think he could do some things for them with the 53. I think it's 51 pick that they have. Like, guys like that, I think really would help them. Even Cam Spencer from UConn just won the national championship with them. He's not the 51st best player in the draft, but he has that, like, F you mentality. I am better than you. I think he could really be a presence, even as a young guy, in that locker room.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, somewhat, yeah, I think that's their best bet, is just taking these picks and hitting on both of them as rotation guys. You don't need to take a home run swing. You take a Tyler Kolek, and you take whoever the hell I just said. I don't like taking Kolek and Nuda because they're both small, but let's say you take Kolek, and then you take, like, Jalen Bridges from Baylor or something. I think that that's an A-plus draft for what the Suns need.
Yeah.
Then sign Russell Westbrook and sign a Morris brother or something.
I guess Marcus has more in the tank than Markieff, but Markieff would be a good vet guy.
I mean, I think they're both good vet guys. Like, they need, well, need that type of, like, enforcer guy, and they don't have it.
Yeah, no. What I mean is, What I mean is, excuse me, I can't think. What I mean is that, like, you expect more out of the tank from a guy like Marcus than you would from Markieff at this stage in the game. But you're right. Both would be,
Okay. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's pretty simple, yeah.
I wish I had more, you know, glamour. Like, you know me. I love free agent signings. I love trade scenarios. I put together the Suns article. Not even, aside those four point guards, I didn't even mention a single possible trade they could make because, like, I don't see it out there for them. I really don't. I didn't talk about a single trade aside from, like, maybe flipping Nas Little into something else because there's nothing else they could really do. So it's like, I'm not going to waste time on trade scenarios that just aren't going to happen.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
And again, they hamstrung themselves because of the second apron. So that's where it gets difficult. So yeah, for the Suns, that's really the outlook for me. I mean, try to hit on those draft picks, which they're probably going to trade anyway. Jury's out, depending what they get, for me to kind of see, you know, how successful they are with trading those picks. It completely depends on what they get. But, and then, you know, try to get veteran voices in the locker room that also could probably do some playmaking.
Yeah, that's a thing. You're right. I mean, it depends on how it's pulled off, though, because we all can see, everybody and their mom and can see what the Suns need to improve on, right? I mean, hopefully, right? Let me ask you one last question kind of in closing. Do you think the Suns need a point guard? Like, yes, they need someone to help them set their offense. Yes, for sure. I think by making the Bradley Beal trade, you basically effectively ended the dream of having, like, a legit point guard. But, like, we talked about Russell Westbrook. We talked about these guards, and that's why I ask you, do you think the Suns need a point guard?
I think they need one on the roster. Because they just, like, who's handling the ball other than the big three? Like, Grayson Allen's probably the next best ball handler at that point. Damian Lee didn't play all year. He's the only, like, real, like, point guard on the roster. And even he's not a ball handler or playmaker. So I think even if it's a guy playing 15, 18, 20 minutes off the bench, you need someone who could dribble, play make, set up guys, has court vision, has an IQ, won't turn the ball over. I think every NBA team needs someone like that.
That makes sense, and that's fair. I agree with you on that.
Like, again, it doesn't have to be a starter. Like, even if they got, like, a campaign of Jordan McLaughlin, I think that, like, given the limited resources they have to work with, I think that's fine. But they need something.
That's fair. You're right. I mean, at least to make it, again, to kind of build up on your on the Suns' depth, on the Suns' ability to contend with actual, like, meaningful players. I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have. So I was gonna say we're a little less than a half hour in, but do you have anything you want to plug other than following you on Twitter at CorbinNBA?
I appreciate you saying that, as always. CorbinNBA is where you can find me. I definitely appreciate the love there. Check out Switch Theory. You know, the roster reconstruction podcast will be a little more regular. I have some more things out, so stay tuned for that. I have some great shows, including this one. Every show he will be on that feed. And so again, if you want to hear the great insights of Steven, the occasional insights of myself and a special guest, stay tuned for that. But yeah, at CORBANNBA.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @_NBAGLE. That's NBAGELL. Go listen to the One and Done podcast, my college basketball podcast. I interviewed yesterday new Arizona forward Trey Towson, who my co-host and I had the opportunity to interview when he was at University of Oakland. He since won Horizon Player of the Year. He since beat Kentucky in March Madness, which ended up causing John Calipari to leave. And yeah, now he's at Arizona. So we had the opportunity to sit down with him again, reflect on the year that was. And that was an awesome interview. You could go check that out on either the One and Done podcast feed or the One and Done YouTube channel. So again, you guys are probably hearing this about almost a week after we're recording it. We are staggering how we are releasing these. But Corbin and I will talk to you guys next episode. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait.